We can go back to our Washington correspondent, Paul Adams, who is still on the line with the Dem. Well, we are still waiting for President Obama. I don't know if you can read anything into that delay of his statement by nearly an hour now. But are you getting any more information trickling out?
Well, only what is being reported on television, which hasn't moved a great deal since we last spoke. It is still being reported that Osama bin Laden was killed in a mansion outside Islamabad. The phrase being used by one report was that this followed actionable U.S. intelligence and that this was done via a U.S. asset. Now, that could mean all sorts of things. It could mean, as many people are speculating, that this was a drone strike. But it could also, given the location, possibly be somebody operating on the ground, and that of course raises the question of what level of cooperation the United States might have got from Pakistan in something like this, given the rather parlous nature of the relationship between the US and Pakistan. It's probably more than likely that this was something the Americans did without really sharing much, if anything, with the Pakistanis. I'm watching at a rather remarkable scene right now on the television, which is the site of what looks like dozens of people standing outside the gates, the railings of the White House, celebrating. It gives you a measure of just how fast the news has traveled. It's also worth noting in this digital age that Wikipedia's entry for Osama bin Laden already has him dead.
Gosh, that is absolutely extraordinary. I mean, and given the fact that the president still hasn't actually even made his official announcement, it's amazing that those people are gathering outside the White House. I was just looking at those pictures as well. How much does this matter to America, Paul?
Well, you know, I was bizarrely up at Ground Zero in New York at the site of the Twin Towers that were brought down almost 10 years ago with my family just a couple of days ago, looking at what's going on there, the progress at building there, but also at the small memorial museum that sits nearby, a museum where Americans in significant numbers still visit every day and ponder on arguably the most traumatic event to take place in their lifetime, an event that really changed the way America thinks about all sorts of things, security, its role in the world, and much besides. It remains an extraordinarily powerful and emotive event, one that resonates in all sorts of ways. And so this news, if and when it is confirmed by the president, will be of enormous emotional significance to a great many people in this country and, of course, around the world. But, of course, it doesn't mean that it's the end of the story. And there's a certain tone in some of the coverage on the television in the last half an hour, which you could almost sense people saying, oh, thank God that's over. And, of course, it isn't. And in the hours and days after this news, when it comes, a lot of people will be wondering exactly what this news means. What does it mean that Osama bin Laden is no longer there? Does it mean anything? In a world where all sorts of people claim to be operating in the name of Al-Qaeda around the world, in North Africa, in the Middle East and elsewhere, does it matter anymore that Osama bin Laden is no longer there to in any way oversee or inspire any of it? These are the questions that will be asked. There will be many people, of course, who will want to give a defiant answer that they are still around and still capable of making their presence felt. So the question of whether it changes anything much, of course, will be open for some time, I think.
Professor Rohan Gunaratne is still on the line with us. And I just wanted to ask you as well, what difference is this now going to make for the Taliban, both in Pakistan and in Afghanistan? Does he have any role to play in those two particular countries anymore?
The Pakistani Taliban work very closely with Al-Qaeda, the group led by bin Laden. So it is a very significant blow to the Pakistani Taliban. And Al-Qaeda was able to influence the Pakistani Taliban and other groups to use Al-Qaeda's methodology of suicide attacks. So in many ways, suicide operations, the tactic was introduced to Pakistani Taliban by Al-Qaeda.
But that's all been done now, and now that practice is well and truly entrenched in both the Pakistani and the Afghan Taliban as well. So the fact that he according to reports, we're soon to have confirmed by the president, we believe, by the president of the US, but we believe is dead. Does that actually really matter to those two groups?
Yes, certainly, because their leader, although the Pakistani Taliban had their own leadership, Baitullah Masood, Hakimullah Masood, they all pledged their allegiance to Bin Laden. They all saw Bin Laden as their leader, and Bin Laden in many ways guided those organizations.
Well, Professor, do stay on the line. We've still got our correspondent Paul Adams up in Washington. Paul, is this going to be a real boost to the Obama administration, or has this hunt become so much more than about one man?
Well, two questions there. One, will it be a boost to the Obama administration? Of course it will. Anything like this, a sort of good news on the security front, is something that will play. The White House is not going to make any concerted effort to politicize it. That would certainly not be President Obama's style, but it will undoubtedly be seen as a feather in his cap. But the wider question of to what extent this matters, if you look at the pattern of attacks in recent years, it's hard to see the fingerprints of Osama bin Laden in any of it. This has become a much more disparate, in fact, it never really was a very centrally organized thing, but Al-Qaeda, the notion of Al-Qaeda is a very disparate thing now. All sorts of people self-radicalizing using the internet, looking to people like the American-born cleric Awlaki, now residing in Yemen, for their inspiration, not to Osama bin Laden. His pronouncements have been increasingly few and far between, and those of his sidekick Ayman al-Zawahiri also. So the question of whether or not those two figures, who for years after 9/11 really were seen as the kind of leading henchmen of Al-Qaeda, I think that's become, you know, an aspect and an element of our history now. It is not so much a factor of day-to-day relevance today. The phenomenon of Al-Qaeda, of violence perpetrated in the name of Islam, is a much, much more complex thing, frankly, than it was. You know, it was always more complex than we thought even then, but it is probably even more complex now, which means that the effort to confront it, to understand it, to try and deal with it, inevitably is a much more nuanced and complex thing, and it requires a lot of effort in a lot of countries, and the death of one man, while hugely symbolic, it doesn't necessarily change a great deal.
Okay, thanks very much, Paul. Just stay with us if you can. More confirmation still trickling in. It has been confirmed now that Osama bin Laden was killed by U.S. personnel and his body is in U.S. custody, just to reiterate that. That's a source familiar with the situation being quoted. Of course, we're still waiting for the official statement by the U.S. president. But just to pick up on what Paul was saying there, let's go back to our Professor Rohan Gunaratne in Singapore, the author of the book Inside Al-Qaeda. What does it mean for Osama bin Laden to be dead now, after all that Al-Qaeda has unleashed in terms of what Paul was saying, radicalization around the world?
Bin Laden here has in many ways created an ideology that will outlast him, and also a number of organizations, because he spawned and he sustained through Al-Qaeda a number of other groups, about 30 to 40 groups that
30
are
to
now
40 groups
like Al-Qaeda.
And that's likely to keep going. Thank you very much. We'll have more from you coming up just after the news. Professor Rohan Gunaratne speaking to us from Singapore.
You're listening to Minnesota Public Radio News. We've got special coverage from the BBC. We are awaiting word from the White House. Apparently, President Barack Obama will address the nation. We will carry that live here and also online at nprnews.org. And the subject of his address is that Al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden has been killed and his body is in U.S. custody. Once again, we will carry the president's remarks live as soon as we have them. We'll now return to the BBC.
It's 3:30 GMT. Welcome back to The World Today from the BBC.
Today, Osama bin Laden is dead. The leader of Al-Qaeda has been killed in Pakistan. We're expecting a statement from President Obama any moment.
We'll be looking at the legacy of the mastermind of 9/11 and discuss what this might mean for the ongoing battles against Al-Qaeda and terrorism around the world.
Let's start with the latest world news.
BBC News with Ian Pern. Officials in the United States say the founder and leader of Al-Qaeda, Osama bin Laden, has been killed. U.S. forces have been trying to track down Osama bin Laden since well before the September the 11th attacks in 2001 on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, which killed around 3,000 people. American officials say they have confirmed evidence that they have killed Osama bin Laden and that they have seen the body. The officials are saying that the world's most wanted man was killed in a mansion near Islamabad, the capital of Pakistan, as a result of what is referred to as actionable intelligence, using what they described as an American asset. For many years, it's been assumed that Osama bin Laden was hiding in the mountainous region running along the Pakistan-Afghanistan border. Cheering crowds have gathered outside the White House in Washington. More news on that when we have it.
You're listening to The World Today on the BBC World Service with Pascal Harter and Madeline Morris as news breaks that Osama bin Laden has been killed. We're expecting a statement from the US President Barack Obama shortly, and we will cut into whatever we're hearing from to bring you that.
And just to bring you some of the images coming from outside the White House at the moment, we are currently looking at a podium in the White House ready for President Obama to come out. But just outside the White House, they've gathered in the most extraordinary scenes, cheering crowds of Americans, seems like very young Americans, many of them holding US flags, all cheering, hearing this news really only an hour ago that Osama bin Laden has died. While we wait for President Obama to come out to make his statement, let's go to Rahimullah Yousafzai. He is the editor of the Pakistani newspaper News International. He's got extensive contacts with the Taliban. Rahimullah, how much do you know about this attack that actually killed Osama bin Laden?
In fact, we don't know much, but there was an incident in Pakistan in a place called Abbottabad, which is near Islamabad, and that happened at 1 o'clock Pakistan time last night. A helicopter was shot down, and there is speculation now that maybe this was the incident in which Osama bin Laden was killed. We have checked with the authorities. They are saying, yes, a helicopter was shot down, but we don't know much as to who was there and who shot the helicopter down. But there is a likelihood that this could be that incident. This is not actually near Islamabad. It's maybe about 1.5 hour drive from...
It's 10:34. You're listening to Minnesota Public Radio News. Once again, special news coverage. We are waiting to hear from the White House and President Barack Obama, who is going to address the country live. And this is all about Al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden's death. And the U.S. has his body in custody. A source familiar with the situation has told us. And they are saying that he was killed outside of Islamabad. Once again, we are waiting word from the White House. President Barack Obama will be addressing the country now.
Good evening. Tonight, I can report to the American people and to the world that the United States has conducted an operation that killed Osama bin Laden, the leader of Al-Qaeda, and a terrorist who's responsible for the murder of thousands of innocent men, women, and children. It was nearly 10 years ago that a bright September day was darkened by the worst attack on the American people in our history. The images of 9/11 are seared into our national memory. Hijacked planes cutting through a cloudless September sky, the Twin Towers collapsing to the ground, black smoke billowing up from the Pentagon, the wreckage of Flight 93 in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, where the actions of heroic citizens saved even more heartbreak and destruction. And yet we know that the worst images are those that were unseen to the world. The empty seat at the dinner table, children who were forced to grow up without their mother or their father. Parents who would never know the feeling of their child's embrace. Nearly 3,000 citizens taken from us, leaving a gaping hole in our hearts. On September 11th, 2001, in our time of grief, the American people came together. We offered our neighbors a hand, and we offered the wounded our blood. We reaffirmed our ties to each other and our love of community and country. On that day, no matter where we came from, what God we prayed to, or what race or ethnicity we were united as one American family. We were also united in our resolve to protect our nation and to bring those who committed this vicious attack to justice. We quickly learned that the 9/11 attacks were carried out by Al-Qaeda, an organization headed by Osama bin Laden, which had openly declared war on the United States and was committed to killing innocents in our country and around the globe. And so we went to war against Al-Qaeda to protect our citizens, our friends, and our allies. Over the last 10 years, thanks to the tireless and heroic work of our military and our counterterrorism professionals, we've made great strides in that effort. We've disrupted terrorist attacks and strengthened our homeland defense. In Afghanistan, we removed the Taliban government, which had given bin Laden and Al-Qaeda safe haven and support. And around the globe, we worked with our friends and allies to capture or kill scores of Al-Qaeda terrorists, including several who were a part of the 9/11 plot. Yet, Osama bin Laden avoided capture and escaped across the Afghan border into Pakistan. Meanwhile, Al-Qaeda continued to operate from along that border and operate through its affiliates across the world. And so shortly after taking office, I directed Leon Panetta, the director of the CIA, to make the killing or capture of bin Laden the top priority of our war against Al-Qaeda, even as we continued our broader efforts to disrupt, dismantle, and defeat his network. Then, last August, after years of painstaking work by our intelligence community, I was briefed on a possible lead to bin Laden. It was far from certain, and it took many months to run this thread to ground. I met repeatedly with my national security team as we developed more information about the possibility that we had located bin Laden hiding within a compound deep inside Pakistan. And finally, last week, I determined that we had enough intelligence to take action and authorized an operation to get Osama bin Laden and bring him to justice. Today, at my direction, the United States launched a targeted operation against that compound in Abbottabad, Pakistan. A small team of Americans carried out the operation with extraordinary courage and capability. No Americans were harmed. They took care to avoid civilian casualties. After a firefight, they killed Osama bin Laden and took custody of his body. For over two decades, bin Laden has been Al-Qaeda's leader and symbol, and has continued to plot attacks against our country and our friends and allies. The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat Al-Qaeda. Yet his death does not mark the end of our effort. There's no doubt that Al-Qaeda will continue to pursue attacks against us. We must, and we will, remain vigilant at home and abroad. As we do, we must also reaffirm that the United States is not and never will be at war with Islam. I've made clear, just as President Bush did shortly after 9/11, that our war is not against Islam. Bin Laden was not a Muslim leader. He was a mass murderer of Muslims. Indeed, Al-Qaeda has slaughtered scores of Muslims in many countries, including our own. So his demise should be welcomed by all who believe in peace and human dignity. Over the years, I've repeatedly made clear that we would take action within Pakistan if we knew where bin Laden was. That is what we've done. But it's important to note that our counterterrorism cooperation with Pakistan helped lead us to bin Laden and the compound where he was hiding. Indeed, bin Laden had declared war against Pakistan as well and ordered attacks against the Pakistani people. Tonight, I called President Zardari, and my team has also spoken with their Pakistani counterparts. They agree that this is a good and historic day for both of our nations. And going forward, it is essential that Pakistan continue to join us in the fight against Al-Qaeda and its affiliates. The American people did not choose this fight. It came to our shores and started with the senseless slaughter of our citizens. After nearly 10 years of service, struggle, and sacrifice, we know well the costs of war. These efforts weigh on me every time I, as Commander-in-Chief, have to sign a letter to a family that has lost a loved one, or look into the eyes of a service member who's been gravely wounded. So Americans understand the costs of war. Yet, as a country, we will never tolerate our security being threatened, nor stand idly by when our people have been killed. We will be relentless in defense of our citizens and our friends and allies. We will be true to the values that make us who we are. And on nights like this one, we can say to those families who have lost loved ones to Al-Qaeda's terror, justice has been done. Tonight, we give thanks to the countless intelligence and counterterrorism professionals who've worked tirelessly to achieve this outcome. The American people do not see their work nor know their names, but tonight they feel the satisfaction of their work and the result of their pursuit of justice. We give thanks for the men who carried out this operation, for they exemplify the professionalism, patriotism, and unparalleled courage of those who serve our country. And they are part of a generation that has borne the heaviest share of the burden since that September day. Finally, let me say to the families who lost loved ones on 9/11 that we have never forgotten your loss, nor wavered in our commitment to see that we do whatever it takes to prevent another attack on our shores. And tonight, let us think back to the sense of unity that prevailed on 9/11. I know that it has at times frayed. Yet today's achievement is a testament to the greatness of our country and the determination of the American people. The cause of securing our country is not complete, but tonight we are once again reminded that America can do whatever we set our mind to. That is the story of our history. Whether it's the pursuit of prosperity for our people or the struggle for equality for all our citizens, our commitment to stand up for our values abroad, and our sacrifices to make the world a safer place. Let us remember that we can do these things not just because of wealth or power, but because of who we are. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. May God bless you. And may God bless the United States of America.